and I had to explain because some of you guys don't speak English. And anyway, I'm just... Mais oui. Was anybody helped by the message last Sunday? Good. What I want to talk about now is what would what I could refer to as spirit-led living. We don't want to live soulish lives like King Saul did. You know, blame shifting and having lacking in faith, not knowing who he was in God. And I want to talk this morning about the exact opposite. Living in the reality of who we are in Christ. Learning to live in the reality of who we are in Christ. So do what we, you guys know the routine. Those of you who are regular attendees, you know what to do by, at this stage. Stretch your hands towards the preacher and say, help him, Jesus. No, no, not help, help. Help him, Jesus. So, Father, would you just come and speak to us, Lord? Well, Lord, we ask that you would minister your word to us. Spirit of God, we can't do anything of any value, any worth, any eternal value apart from you, Lord Jesus, apart from the work of your Spirit flowing in and through our lives. So we ask that you would come even now. Breathe on this word, Father. Make it live. It's your word. Make it live in our hearts. Plant it deep into each one of our spirits. Lord, take the veil from off our eyes. Remove those places in our heart where there's unbelief still or just dullness. And let life come forth. Let your word come forth with great clarity, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. And I will ask my wife to come up and read that for me because she's a very good public reader. John 15.
This is my favorite passage. Everybody there? I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no end than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Whoa. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Amen.
Yes. Wonderful. You really don't have to say much after that word because it's so clear, it's so precise. Here's how it is. Here's how you need to be if you want to bear fruit. Amen? You know, this morning was one of those days where you're not sure what do you want to do with the worship because the worship was so awesome. and the Spirit of God and the presence of God was so much here that you really didn't want to leave that. And I was beginning to revel. Do you revel? Do you revel? Do you bask? Do you celebrate the fact that you have been made one with Christ? That Christ is living on the inside of you? That when you gave your life to Jesus, when, you know, the preacher made an altar call and you came forward, and whether you had an emotional experience or not, what actually happened when you said, "Yes, Jesus, I invite you into my life," was he actually took you at your word. And you said, "Jesus, come into my life." And he came rushing in the Spirit. He came into your life. And he joined himself to your spirit. He made your dead spirit come alive. And now you're one with the Godhead. You want to talk about those things. I feel you want to talk about those things with a certain whisper and awe in your voice. Because it's an amazing thought that the God of this universe, who lives outside of time and space, the God who is invisible, yes, the God who's powerful, who is amazing, who can snuff your life out like that, deigns, chooses to come, to funnel himself into your life and to come and live, even into a guy like Brian. My gosh, can you believe the mercy and the love of God and the compassion of God that he would choose to come and live in a person like Brian, of all people. Jesus must really, really love you. Ah, bless him, Lord. Fill him up. The point I want to make there is if we could really live on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, with that reality, with that understanding that God is on the inside of us, Jesus is on the inside of us. If we could live with that truth, our lives, I believe, would be so radically different than they are now. This church, the body of Christ globally, would be so different. But we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. You know, we saw a movie, Elsie and I, some of you don't know, Elsie and I were on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and we were out east, and we were at our friend's place in Halifax, and we watched this movie called Limitless. Have you guys, I think it was out earlier this year, Limitless? It's a cute little sci-fi thriller kind of a movie about a guy. It's based on the idea, the thought that, you know, human beings, you and me, in the natural, we only access 10 or 20% of our mental faculties. All right? So the movie is about this boy, this man who was a writer who was, you know, his life was going downhill. His girlfriend just left. He was suffering writer's block. Things were falling apart for him. He comes across a drug dealer who has a pill. And the deal is, if you take this pill, you are able to access all of your mental faculties, 100% of your potential you can access. How many people want a pill like that? Sign me up right now. Is it an OHIP? Is it a medical plan? But here's the deal. Here's what was actually, I thought the premise was cool and interesting to study. But here's the deal about the movie. The best thing that the guy could come up the movie is that he actually took the pill and did well. He did very, very well. But here was his highest goal in life with this 100% access to his brain, was being the president of the United States of America. Isn't that sucky? Completely ridiculous? I mean, he wanted to access his brain, all of his mental faculty, just so that he can live for himself and get the best possible plan for himself. And in his mind, the best plan was being the president of the United States of America. I mean, how limiting is that? How the movie's called Limitless, right? But how limited is that vision that he, you know, with all of his abilities, he's going to be the president of... Well, I mean, if we were able to really access the truth that we have God living on the inside. This truly limitless person, although we are finite, he is infinite. And we have this incredible ability to access this God who is limitless. How, if we were to live with that reality in an authentic way, I mean, we would be dealing with the stuff in Somalia right now. We'd be finding ways of solving that kind of crisis in the world. I mean, we will be living for truly, authentically for other people, the way that Jesus lived, his self-sacrificial life. So, that was my holidays for you. I want to share with you a quick story of one of my heroes. I don't have very many heroes. I have lots of people that I admire, respect, and I look up to them. I admire who they are and what they've become. But I don't have very many heroes. I have a hero who is a lady, and if I get emotional, deal with it. The first time I went to India was in the year 2000, and I went with a lady called Joan Ward. We call her Joan Wilder as a throwback. Anyway, you guys aren't movie buffs. But anyway, we went to India with this lady, and she was invited because her grandparents were Canadian Baptist missionaries who went to this part of India to start schools, hospitals, churches. And actually, there was an authentic revival that happened in this part of India, a place called Akividu in the province of... No, Dan wasn't there, sorry. That was a Ukraine trip. Anyway, so we went to India. The state was called AP, Andhra Pradesh. The village is Akividu. And that whole area, 130 years ago now, was actually... in revival, where whole villages were coming to Christ, where these Canadian Baptists were making such an impact on that part of the world that they even named one of the cities or towns Kota Kanada, I think it is, something like that. Canada isn't the word. Anyway, that's way too much detail for the point I want to make, as per usual. Anyway, so we go there, and... in the course of being there, we met this lady. She's a doctor. She was from Madras or Chennai, which is further south. But she went up first on a part of her, deputation or internship as a doctor. She went up to this part of India just to practice. But she felt called to minister to these tribal villages of people. And she spent her entire life. Now, this is a very accomplished woman, a doctor. She actually looks like one of my older sisters, an older version of one of my older sisters. That was the natural bond that developed. But then, on this one occasion, Joan and I went to visit this lady. Now, at that time, she was in her 80s. And so we went just to visit her and just to, you know, spend time having a cup of tea with her. And I tell you, now you guys know me. Most of you know me by now that I don't make, you know, I try to keep these things as true and as real as possible. We were in this room in this lady's house, and we began to pray. And within seconds of praying, the presence of God came into this room. I could almost see with my eyes like a golden hue in the room, and I kid you not, I began to hear angels singing as we were praying with this lady. Just a normal having a cup of tea and let's pray, nothing spectacular. But as we were doing this very normal thing, heaven just invaded that room. When Joan and I left there, we actually walked back to the place we were staying, and neither of us said a single word for the entire trip. We just walked home in silence because we were stunned by the way heaven was honoring this this, now she was old, this old lady who had given her life away in service to Jesus. She could have lived anywhere in the world. She could have lived in one of the big cities in India. She could have gone to London, come to Canada, be a doctor, wherever she wanted. She could. She was that gifted. But she chose just to give her life away to Jesus and to serve these people. And heaven gave us a glimpse of how she was being honored. That's living a limitless life. That's what it's all about. It's giving your life away. Come, Holy Spirit. Her name is Dr. Janaki, just in case you want to know. Okay, we wouldn't have much time. It's already 12:20. But I want to just point out two things. I'll elaborate on the first, and I'll share the second one in greater detail at another time. John chapter 15. There are two big points in this passage that John is making. The first point is, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. I wish I had my Bible with me. Can you give me your Bible for a sec? Abiding in Christ. The first couple of verses, it's almost repetitious. In fact, I counted it, and in those 17 verses, the word remain or abide is mentioned 11 times. In 17 verses, 11 times the word abide in me and I will abide in you. 11 times. Either the guy is a stutterer, or he wants to make a point about abiding. Right? He wants to make a point about abiding, the importance of abiding. Thank you, my shushu. And one of the great outcomes or benefits of abiding is that we bear fruit. So I'm sitting there yesterday morning, and I'm saying, God, can you give me a simple way for a pea-brained guy like me, can you give me a simple way to understand what it really means to bear fruit? What are you talking about, bearing fruit? Because in my evangelical days, one of the people I was listening to tried to make a distinction between, bearing fruit means fruit of the Spirit. And of course, kind of makes sense. Fruit of the Spirit. Let one passage of Scripture explain another passage of Scripture. So he says, abiding or bearing fruit is, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc., etc., all nine of those, right? Which is good. He says it's not the harvest, because the harvest has to do with wheat. Okay? But so yesterday morning, I'm sitting there and saying, God, would you help me understand clearly in a simple way, so I can understand it, and my fellow parishioners could also understand what it means to bear fruit. So I'm sitting there, and a memory comes back to my mind. Have you guys ever done this? Have you been to St. Lucia? Have you driven in the car up and through the mountains and around and twisting around the valleys and the mountains of St. Lucia? And have you ever mentioned to your driver, just in an off passing comment, man, I'm getting hungry. Man, I'm feeling hungry. So the driver says, don't worry, hold on one sec. He makes two or three turns, and he pulls up by the side of the road. He hasn't even, we didn't even get out of the car. He just pulled up by the side of the road. He says, stretch your hand out and pick a mango. Have you ever done that? Stretch your hand out from the car. You don't even have to get out of the car. Stretch your hand through the window and pick a mango. That's the memory that came to my mind. I'm saying, God, is that really helpful? I love mango, yes. Jesus says, I am the vine. Right? I picked a mango from a mango tree. If you want to pick a cherry, you go to a cherry tree. if you want to pick a tomato, which is a fruit, not a vegetable, you go to a tomato vine. If you want to pick a grape, you go to a grape vine. So if Jesus is the vine, what kind of fruit would be born from a Jesus vine? Jesus fruit would come off the Jesus vine. Cherry tree, cherry fruit. Mango tree, mango fruit. Jesus vine, Jesus fruit. Yes, come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So here's the big question then. Does my life, when people look at me, when people come to me or pass by me, are they looking at Jesus' fruit? Is Jesus' fruit coming off of my life? This church has been around for almost 2 years now, this campus, 2 years. And we're building a reputation. What is the reputation we're building? Is it that people can come here and find Jesus' fruit? Then they come, can they come and find and encounter the person of Jesus, what he's really like, his compassion, his love, his power, his truth? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. Bearing fruit. Are we bearing Jesus' fruit? I don't want... Let me tell you one of my pet peeves, if I may, about Canadianism and Canadian church. We sometimes think that to be a good Christian in Canada is just to be a really nice person. We have to have nice behavior so that people will always feel comfortable with us, and you know, we always have a nice big smile. And yes, obviously that's true, but we can't ever reduce the reality of Jesus to just being nice. We've got to have an authentic supernatural reality where people can come and experience the realness of a supernatural God who may be invisible, but who is nevertheless more real than you and me. And that is the pursuit that we're on. You remember when Ivan and Isabel came? Oh, sorry, Isabel came at the last location, the last time we were there. One of the things, she said many things, as you probably remember, or maybe don't remember. She said a lot of things. But one of the things that really I grabbed hold of was that she said, in this church, people will come and find the real Jesus. The real Jesus. Not the facade, not the religious Jesus, but the real Jesus. And that's really what our pursuit has been from day one. We want to be as authentic people as we possibly can, you know, getting rid of the masks. So thank God for people like Pat and Rudy who are going to help us get rid of those masks that we wear, those protective things that we have around our hearts that protect us from people, but also protect us from the goodness of God pouring in and the love of God pouring in and also pouring back out. Amen? So, as time's running late, so I'm going to save the second part of what I wanted to say for another time. The two big points, I'll just mention them. The two big points in this passage is, first of all, abiding in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus. I mean, it's repeated over and over and over and over. Abiding in Jesus. Abiding, remain in Jesus. Dwell in Jesus. And then, of course, you know, me being the kind of person that I am, I ask God, what does it actually mean to abide in Jesus? And I didn't, the word, it what happened was, it didn't actually, abide was not the word that actually stood out in the phrase, right? Abide in me, right? Abide in me. The word that stood out for me, as I was thinking about this yesterday morning, is in. Because you see, Elsie and I, we happen to abide, you know, side by side in the same location. I abide with Elsie. Elsie abides with me. Abide, as you probably know, means to live with or to dwell with or to remain with, right? So we live with each other. We abide with each other. But Jesus is saying, I don't want you to live next to my side. I'm not living next to you. I'm living on the inside of you. There's a union, there's a spiritual, mystical, real union between Jesus and us, the Holy Spirit and us. And we need to grab hold of what it means, of what that actually means in real terms so that we can live that out in our lives, at work, at school, not just in church, especially not just in church, but wherever we are, we live with this consciousness, this real consciousness that Jesus and I, the Godhead and I, are one. And if we do that, I can guarantee you, though life may, I'm not suggesting for one moment that life, therefore, would become problem-free, because that's living on a different planet. Life will not become problem-free, but we'll have greater access to the resources of heaven to deal with those problems. Whether it's patience to just wait and to go through the process of whatever the problem is. Am I making my point?
Yes.
All right. I want somebody to say, glory, hallelujah. Here are some of the consequences or benefits of abiding in Jesus, abiding with Jesus, living with Jesus, living with the realization that Jesus and I are one. Benefit number one is we are being cleansed. You can do your own reading to see what particular verse I'm talking about, but we are being cleansed by the fact that we have Jesus, right? Jesus talks about the fact that those dead branches that don't bear fruit will be cut off and thrown away. But you, who bear fruit, will be purged. That's one translation. Pruned is another translation. Those words, the Greek word, can also very well be translated cleansed. We're being cleansed. And I'm not a viticulturalist. Is that the right word? The guy who takes care of vines. But I read a thing once where it says that the vine dresser, he takes away the branches that are dead so that the life that's there will be funneled to the branches that actually are bearing fruit, that are actually, you know, doing good stuff. So, but then with the good stuff, what he does is if there's too much foliage, he just takes off some gently and tenderly takes off the excess foliage so that the life can go towards bearing fruit, not just to looking good. Yeah, okay. You guys are throwing me off by your responses. I already lost my train of thought. Okay, being cleansed is what I'm talking about. Second thing is answered prayer. Answered prayer. How many people have read that verse that says, ask anything you will and it shall be done for you? And all they do is quote those verses. And they run around saying, Jesus needs to answer my prayer because it says in the Bible. Well, the promise of that verse, the condition of that verse, of that truth, that God will answer our prayers, is if we are abiding in the vine. And if his word is a... Thank you, Janice. And if his words are abiding in us. Here's another benefit of abiding in the vine. It's a three-letter word that we love around here. Joy. I have told you these things so that your joy may be complete. That you will have my joy, Jesus says. So let's abide with him so we can be joyful. Another benefit is being fruitful and fulfilled. And then, of course, more for me, the most exciting part is friendship with Jesus, knowing the heart and the plans of God. Knowing the plans, he says, "I no longer call you servants; I call you friends, because a servant does not know his master's plans." And I hark back to my time growing up in Guyana, and because labor was cheap, we used to have servants that worked in our house. And there's this servant, we had a few, but the one that became close to us, And actually, she made food for our wedding. Our wedding day, she made food for Elsie and my wedding. Her name is Auntie Naz. She's become Auntie Naz. She didn't start off being Auntie Naz. Let me tell you her story really quickly. She came to our place to work, to mainly do cleaning and cooking. And so first couple of days she started off, she would come. She would ask my mother, Auntie Bertie, what do you want me to do today? So my mom would tell her, okay, I want you to cook this, cook this, cook this, clean this area, clean that area, clean that area. So she would do that. When she's finished, she would come back after she's done her job, and she would say, okay, what more do you want me to do? And then my mother would say, okay, do that, do that, do that, do that. For the first period of time, Auntie Naz was a servant because she didn't know the big picture. She just came and she got her tasks and she did them, and she did them. As time went on, Auntie Naz actually became one of our, like a family member. In fact, when my sister moved up to Toronto to live with her three young kids, Auntie Naz came with her to live in Toronto. Now, she still lives in Toronto. She lives over there. And she actually made food for our wedding. The point I'm making is this, that Auntie Naz started off being a servant, but she became family. She became a friend. And so she was actually included on family decisions. So much so that she actually ended up moving with my sister to Canada. This is what Jesus is talking about. You may start off as servants. I come to Jesus. He tells me what to do. But that's only a starting point. The ending point is he wants us not just to know his works, but to know his ways, to know his heart. And the only way that we can ever know that with any degree of conviction and confidence is simply by abiding. And I know it's a very easy thing to say, abide in Christ. It's not as hard, you know, it's not as easy to do in reality, like most things in a Christian life. We can't, by the way, we can't ever do the Christian life. Did you realize that, Janice? Did you know that we cannot be good Christians in our own strength? That's right. Jesus said it in this passage, without me, you can do nothing. So if we want to do anything of eternal consequence, anything of eternal significance, we have to abide in Jesus. We have to be spending time with him. We have to be soaking in his presence. We have to be believing his word, obedience. Remember the other part of that verse? Jesus says, you are my friends if you obey me. You see, my friends, they don't have to obey me because we just hang out together and we're on par with each other, right? They don't have to obey me. I don't have to obey them. But although we're friends with God, we still have this friendship, this intimacy. These intimacy levels are contingent on our obedience to him, either both to his written word, the Bible, right there, the Bible, or to his living word, the prophetic word, the word that comes through, you know, prophecy or dream we may have, whatever unction we feel that God is speaking to us through, we hang on to that word and we trust it and we obey it. And we develop intimacy with God based on that. Amen? Okay, so that's my shortened version of the whole thing. So here's what I want us to do. If we can all stand, I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit